So the plan is that we would also make Gemini Nano available on Pixel 8 behind a developer option so that developers who know exactly what the impact to their user experience would be are able to use this feature. And of course, any users that also understand the potential impact to the user experience are also able to use this feature. We're still doing system health validations because, you know, even if you're a developer, you might still want to use your phone on a daily basis, but we're planning on getting it out by the next feature drop.
Welcome to the Made by Google podcast, where we meet the people who work on the Google products you love. Here's your host, Rashid Finj.
Pixel phones now come with an amazing 7 years of support, but how did that come about? We're talking to Xian Xiao, Vice President of Engineering.
This is the Made by Google podcast.
Xian, build high-quality, intelligent, and helpful first-party devices and health and home platforms for everyone. So that's the mission statement on your internal profile at Google. Listeners of the Made by Google podcast will know that we frequently refer to that internal profile. So tell us a bit more about how you arrived at your mission statement.
Yeah, you know, that mission statement kind of reflects why I joined Google in the first place. I wanted to be part of building really great devices that weren't just helpful, but you could actually call them smart. If you think about early smartphones, they were connected to the internet and they ran apps. And I think that's why people called them smartphones, because they were, you know, like computers. I want to make people feel like Google meets them where they are, right? Like, you don't have to do anything to use a Google product. We thought of you, right? Like, Google thought of them. You know, as an example, if you saw our Super Bowl commercial, Pixels have some of the best cameras available on a phone. But for people who have vision impairments, we want to make sure they're still able to use the cameras. So we built Guided Frame so that everyone can use the camera. And, you know, I really love that my work helps me let people get things done so they can get on with their lives. And that's kind of why that mission statement is written as it is.
If I'm not mistaken, you joined Google about 2 weeks before the very first Pixel phone launched back in 2016. I'm wondering what you remember from that first launch, and were you on the Pixel team at that moment?
I was on the Pixel team. I was at the launch even, which is great, even though I didn't have much to do with it. One of the very first things that I worked on for the first Pixel launch was trying to decide what to do about our HDR plus mode. So specifically, like, we knew that the Pixel camera and HDR plus was just amazing. It was just groundbreaking work. And the images were awesome. But early reviewers and early testers, dog fooders as we call them, when they turned it off, it wouldn't turn back on. And so then all the rest of their pictures would be really bad. And we got together, a bunch of us, and tried to figure out, okay, what should we do? Should we allow them to turn it off? Should we just turn it back on? How do we handle like this problem of people being able to turn off HDR plus and then not realizing that it's still off? Sounds like a very simple thing, but it's unusual to not respect the setting, which is what we ended up deciding. We said, all right, we'll respect the setting while that camera app is still active, but the moment you exit and you come back, we're going to ignore that setting and go right back to turning HDR plus on. And that's where we landed, to make sure that people got the best pictures out of the camera that was available.
Yeah, I think you saved a lot of pictures with that decision.
Sure. Yes.
You're the vice president of engineering for the software of our devices and services. So what does that mean? Like, what's a day like for you?
Yes, I'm in charge of, I guess, designing and engineering software that allows Google to build our first-party devices that as much as possible fit into your life as seamlessly as possible. And this includes, as I mentioned earlier, our Nest products, our Google Home products, our Fitbit products, and of course, our Pixel products that we're discussing today. And of course, Pixel is phone, buds, watch, and our tablet as well. Some of these devices are built into your home. Like, for instance, our Nest doorbells and our cameras and our thermostats. So a lot of that job isn't just developing and releasing and launching those products, but also maintaining them with software updates to make sure that they stay secure. You don't want people being able to hack into your camera feed and be able to view what's going on the camera or your doorbell or change your temperature in your home or anything like that. So we want to make it as secure as possible. And so we have to make sure that not only is it secure, but we're thinking about sustainability as well, because you want to be able to use those things built into your home for as long as possible. I mean, if you apply that kind of thinking and sustainability to mobile devices, our phones, our watches, our buds, et cetera, we need to also think about how we can have those devices live longer with people. And for high value devices like phones and tablets, if you're passing them down, trading them in, making sure that whoever you're giving them to or whoever is buying it in the secondary market gets to enjoy that device for as long as possible.
So when Pixel 8 and Pixel 8 Pro launched last year, we announced 7 years of software updates. I have a lot of questions about, you know, the 7 years and how you got there, but maybe it's good to start with a more general question about software updates and the longevity of them. So what are challenges for teams when trying to keep products supported for such a long time? Like, why isn't everyone doing that?
Yeah, so 7 years, 7 years is a long time. Just to share a fun fact, my 7-year Googleversary was right before the Pixel 8 Pro launch. So I thought it was kind of neat to be able to go to 7 years. A lot of work is necessary for that. We ended up having to work with a lot of our suppliers and our partners to get to that 7 years. Because if you look at how many different SKUs we have, right? You have the Pro SKU, you have the A-Series SKU, you have the non-Pro SKU. And we sell in different regions to different carriers. So there's different memory configurations, storage configurations. So there's a lot of different SKUs. And the longer you support, the more devices you have to test anytime you make an update. And we have these security updates that we tend to push out. So we're talking about a lot of devices after 3 or 5 or 7 years. So you need to make sure that your labs are equipped to do that kind of continuous testing, that your partners are able to do that kind of testing. Everybody needs to be equipped to be able to ensure the highest quality experience once it gets actually pushed out to our users.
So maybe the hardest thing is then talking to partners, making sure that everyone is on board to go the distance for the 7 years. Maybe it's much more a matter of bandwidth than it is like, is it technically complicated?
I think it's both technically complicated, but also resource intensive. Because as you support for longer periods of times, there's different versions of the Linux kernel that you're trying to support because each phone launched with a different version of the Linux, and each phone may have launched with a different version of Android that you're updating to. And then as you break off and branch between a version of Android and a different security update, then suddenly you've got different versions of security updates against different versions of Android. And just that matrix just gets really, really complicated. And that's what took us so many years to finally get to 7 years, was because we've been working at it and chipping away at that complexity. We've been chipping away at that matrix. As an example, when we went to the Tensor SoC, when we built our own SoC, we said, okay, well, now we've simplified that matrix a ton because now our A-Series and our Premium and our Pro and all of our devices use that same flagship SoC. That cuts it down a ton right there because the SoC generates probably the most complexity when we're talking about software updates. And if it's all the same across an entire generation of products or its entire portfolio, then it makes it really simple. That's why when we launched Pixel 6 in 2021, we were able to up our update promise from the 3 that we had previously to 5. So we went to 5 years of updates. And then after we got a couple more years of Tensor under our belt, and we're really being able to figure out how to best do those updates, but then also launched 2 more form factors with the Fold and the tablet, we got a lot more comfortable saying, okay, yes, now we can go to that 7 years and be able to deliver to our customers that extended time.
So how did you land on 7? Why is it not 6? You came up with 7. I know it brings us in 2030 for Pixel 8, which is a neat number, of course. Yes. But I'm just wondering, like, how do you decide where that limit is?
That is a great question. When we made that announcement, I saw a lot of people kind of talking about, oh, can we actually trust Google to update for 7 years? Why would anybody keep their phone for 7 years? You know, all these other questions. But I didn't see very many people. In fact, I didn't read any questions about why 7 and why now. I think I already answered the why now. But the why 7 is interesting. You know, Pixel's been around for 8 generations, right? We just launched the 8 and 8 Pro. And then we were around for, you know, a few years prior to that with Nexus devices, right? Google was in the phone business, partnered with Android OEMs to build Nexus devices. Now, when we looked at active user data for Nexus devices, it didn't tell us as full and complete a story as we'd like because Nexus was, you know, kind of targeted towards enthusiasts, Android enthusiasts particularly, but Pixel, we build for everyone, as I mentioned earlier. We really want to focus on building for everyone. So when we look at the trajectory of where the original Pixel that we launched in 2016 landed and how many people were still using the first Pixel, we saw that, well, actually, there's quite a good active user base until probably about the 7-year mark. So if we think about, okay, we want to be able to support Pixel for as long as people are using the device, then 7 years is about that right number. And please, I understand it's not the same user that's using the device for 7 years. For some of them, it may be the same user using the device for 7 years, but a lot of them are, you know, passed down again to loved ones, friends, family, or they're traded in for a new Pixel, or they're, you know, sold in a secondary market.
What do those 7 years look like? I guess technically you could say, well, we'll do just another update in 7 years, but that wouldn't be really fair. Like, are we doing yearly updates? Is there a different cadence? What do I get when as a Pixel customer?
Yeah, I think one of the neat things that we do with Pixel, and as far as I know, you get only with Pixel, is you don't have to wait until our annual release in the summer to get all the latest and greatest that Android is delivering. You get these feature drops, right? Pixel exclusive feature drops, where you not only get Android OS updates, but you also get new features on your Pixel device. You know, from what we've seen, people love their Pixel feature drops. And the longer we can keep doing that, and, you know, we're talking about 7 years now, even if you're a buyer on a secondary market or it was passed down to you, you're still getting these Pixel feature drops that you can be delighted by, right? As you get new features and new capabilities. I think the other thing that we strive to do is update our entire portfolio of supported devices around the same time, right? So whether you're getting a Pixel Fold or a Pixel Pro or, you know, one of our premium Pixel devices or an A series or a tablet, they all get updated around the same time. If it's supported, it'll get the update.
Absolutely. So for this season of the Made by Google podcast, we're asking our superfans to tell us what questions they want us to ask. From Daniel Phillips of our superfan community, his question, what are the biggest challenges of 7 years of support? Well, you alluded to like this complicated matrix, but I guess let's say you worked out the matrix. Now, maybe it's 2030. What are other challenges you're looking at other than the sort of vast amount of configurations you need to cater for?
Yeah, look, one of the things I haven't gotten to yet, but I think helps to answer this question, is that we didn't just move from 5 years to 7 years. What we moved was from our previous promise of 3 years of OS upgrades and 5 years of security updates to a full 7 years of Android OS updates and 7 years of security updates. The way we made that happen was partnering really, really closely with the Android team here. If you remember... This is kind of, you know, inside football here, but one of the things that we did right after the Pixel 6 launch is we transitioned from what we used to do where we started these beta programs to a year-round beta program where you just sign up for beta once and then you stay on beta throughout the entire year. And what you would get is an early sneak peek into our what we're calling our quarterly platform releases. So we actually started updating Android every quarter, rather than waiting for, you know, a massive drop every summer on these annual SDK and version number bumps. We would have these incremental updates. And over the 2 years after the Pixel 6 launch, those quarterly updates actually got bigger and bigger so that we could deliver more and more functionality to users throughout the year on Pixel. And what we saw was now that we have these beta programs year round, we have much more confidence that we'll have a reliable update for users on a quarterly basis because we have a lot of beta testers and ensure that features that we're moving from the annual releases to these quarterly releases are going to work and work well for our users.
So having extra beta testers, I'm sure there are a lot of listeners of the Made by Google podcast who might be opted into the beta program, definitely helps you get through that 7 years a little bit easier.
Yes. And that also helps us do Android OS updates that more frequently because we're able to do the security updates and the Android OS updates and just tie them together. And with more frequent testing and more frequent betas, we're able to do that with a lot more confidence.
So what happens like 5 years down the line? There is another feature drop in maybe March of 2029. Is the Pixel 8 getting the sort of same features as what is then the latest flagship Pixel device? Is that the target?
Yeah, I think it really makes a difference on what exactly that feature is, right? So if it's a feature that doesn't require extra RAM or it doesn't require extra storage or a coprocessor that we don't have in there or some other hardware capability, then we do our best to make sure that that feature does go back to currently supported products. And you'll see a history of that where we've done exactly that, where if it's a software-only feature, we try to make sure that it's available on supported devices.
I'm wondering, we've seen some other OEMs now following up, also saying, you know what, we're going to do 7 years as well. How does that make you feel?
I think that's great, right? I think it's fantastic for the entire Android ecosystem. I feel like in some ways, Pixel needs to be like the tip of the spear on bringing the entire Android ecosystem forward. And, you know, whether it's quality or the system UI or the user experience or, you know, AI features and innovations, or even if it's just something as quote unquote simple, a concept as sustainability and keeping your device for longer, it's a really hard problem. And as I noted, it really needed a lot of really deep collaboration with Android and with suppliers and with partners. And once we're able to do that with carriers and with Android and these other teams that are common with the rest of the Android ecosystem, like, we love that others are doing this as well. So we think it's fantastic.
Perfect. Setting the bar for the others then. See, and there's another question on my mind. Last year, you announced that Pixel 8 Pro was the first smartphone to run Gemini Nano. In fact, it powers the Summarize feature in the Recorder app and also Smart Reply in Gboard. Has that process changed how you think about software updates?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've been running dozens and dozens of models. We actually called out the exact number in our last fall event for a very long time. ML models, AI models, and you know, that's been able to deliver a lot of really cool features, whether we're talking about Magic Editor or Magic Eraser or any of the other things that we've been able to deliver to our products that people find really useful. When large language models and these generative AI models came out, we're like, oh, this is great. Like, Tensor's a great solution for this. And so we were able to pretty quickly move these very large language models onto our devices and start playing with them. And the Pixel 8 Pro, you know, having 12 gigabytes of RAM, was a perfect place for us to kind of put it on the device and see what we could do with a portable quantized version of a large language model. And when we took a look at, okay, can we take this to the rest of our portfolio? And we looked at the Pixel 8 as an example. Like, well, Pixel 8's got 4 gigabytes less memory. Hmm. And, you know, it wasn't as easy a call to just say, all right, we're just going to enable it on Pixel 8 as well. And we've been doing a lot of testing and validation to make sure that, you know, we weren't going to deliver much worse experience. You know, as we talked about earlier, we want to make sure that our updates improve your experience and doesn't actually degrade your experience. And so having 8 gigabytes of RAM for a, you know, memory resident model. We didn't even make it memory resident by default on Pixel 8 Pro because we didn't want to degrade the experience there, right? We're doing what we call lazy loading of the model when you go to Summarize in the Recorder app. Smart Reply is something that requires the models to be RAM resident so that it's available all the time. You don't want to wait for the model to load on a Gboard reply, so we keep it resident. And that, of course, is behind a developer option so that folks can use the feature if they want to play with, hey, what can we build with Nano in the future? And so we want to make that available on Pixel 8 as well, right? We want to make that available for developers. So the plan is that we would also make Gemini Nano available on Pixel 8 behind a developer option so that developers who know exactly what the impact to their user experience would be are able to use this feature. And of course, any users that also understand the potential impact to the user experience are also able to use this feature.
Well, that's definitely amazing news. So when is it happening?
We're still doing system health validations because, you know, even if you're a developer, you might still want to use your phone on a daily basis. But we're planning on getting it out by the next feature drop.
That's great. I'm sure many people are eagerly awaiting the next feature drop. And finally, CN, I just like asking this to anyone who works on Pixel. Tell me about your favorite Pixel feature.
Ah, yes. I think the thing that keeps me on Pixel, because I also work on Nest and Fitbit products, you know, we obviously also build iOS apps. And so a lot of us also have to carry iPhones. So one of the things that I think keeps me on Pixel and using my Pixel as my primary all the time is the Pixel Call Assist features. I don't make or receive many phone calls, but when I do, the Pixel Call Assist features are just absolutely priceless, right? If you think about, okay, I have to call a business, right? Then the Direct My Call feature, where it kind of transcribes the menu tree real time so that you see what the menus are, and then you can just tap the screen for the menu item that you want. That is priceless. And then when you actually make it to the menu item you want, the phone will just hold for you until a human comes on. Talk about saving time. So like, these are the things that, yes, I don't use them very often, but when I do use them, they're amazing, right? It's magical. And then of course, receiving phone calls on my Pixel, I almost never get any spam calls anymore, right? Because call screen is there. It's directing things to call screen automatically if it's likely spam. And if it's not spam, with our latest update on call screen for Pixel 8 and 8 Pro, the voice now, the call screen voice is so natural and so human sounding that I've had zero humans that were trying to reach me that I actually wanted to answer the call hang up, right? They didn't hang up. They actually answered. They would say why they're calling. I would see the transcription on the screen, and then I was able to pick up the call. So for a phone, I think the smartest features and I think my favorite features are definitely the call assist features.
It's real now, the smartphone.
It's real now. I can call it a smartphone. And Pixel is, you know, in my opinion, one of the smartest smartphones.
Absolutely. Sian, thank you so much for joining the Made by Google podcast. And hopefully we'll see you around again somewhere in the next 7 years.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Made by Google podcast. Don't miss out on new episodes. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts to be the first to listen.